Well, it's a sobering reading, isn't it? What does it take to live a good life? What does a good life look like? Any thoughts?
Somehow love.
Somehow love, a key element. Thank you, Murray, we agree. Love needs to be there, yes.
Compassion.
And compassion, yes. Yep. Oh, Mart, you've got something? Integrity, living with integrity. I like that answer. Thank you. Pardon? Humility. Well, isn't that wonderful? You've given such wonderful answers. None of you said money. None of you said having material comfort. None of you said youthful good looks, although you clearly could have, looking out amongst you this morning. None of you said comfort, the things that our world chases after and thinks are the reason for a good life. And as we've said, we pray and hope that the events of last 9 days would stir people to think, what does a good life look like? What is a life lived in service of others? We know Jesus' teaching tells us that good does not necessarily mean comfortable. Unfortunately, we might wish it otherwise. But this is one of the things we're looking at today because we are looking at persecution. Oops, I'm going to move a little closer. There we go. This morning we need to keep in mind one of those many tensions that we have in Christianity. We have a tension in the humanity and deity of Jesus Christ. Fully human stuff like us, fully God stuff. How does that happen? We have a tension in the Trinity that 3 equals 1. And I have a former maths teacher in front of me. I used to be a physics teacher. 3 equals 1 would make a rather a mess of a whole lot of the mathematical system. I think you'd keep geometry and a few other things. But we have 3 persons and 1 God. How do we get our head around that? We don't. We have the now but not yet of God's kingdom. And we have another tension that we are looking at today. Because Jesus promises us abundant life. He calls us to share in his abundant life. And we have indication throughout scripture that where we obey and follow God's ways, human flourishing increases. And we have a tension that Jesus is saying, where we obey and follow his ways and where there is fruitfulness, there is opposition. There is opposition that is human opposition, and there is opposition that is spiritual opposition. We have to hold these in tension. Obedience to Jesus brings an increase in God's kingdom. Brings an increase in abundant life and flourishing. And often for someone else, and I think some of you know that story of suffering love, where you would long for someone to listen to you and support you and encourage you, and you're choosing to give that listening and support and encouragement to someone else. That you might have wished for a safe and affectionate home in your childhood, but you're choosing to give safe and affectionate environments to others. Or you might long for someone, for a companion, but you are choosing to give companionship in visiting others. Sometimes our obedience brings God's kingdom in someone else's life and increases human flourishing and abundance for someone else. Can I encourage you, when you are choosing to do that, when you are giving what you don't have, when you are giving what you don't have, you create enormous space for the Holy Spirit to work and for God's kingdom to come. So that's a little aside, because we're just remembering Jesus comes to promise and call us to abundant life, and we have a talk today looking at 2 passages about persecution. So the first one, first of our Beatitudes that we're looking at today, blessed or happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And the word persecuted here is very similar to our meaning in English. It means to pursue with intensity and haste, to chase earnestly or aggressively, to hunt. It's not a nice word in that sense, and it's not accidental. Righteousness and justice, we know, are related words, and they have a relational context. We've already looked at that as we've gone through the Beatitudes. Living righteously in an unjust world, living with honesty or integrity, where that is not meant, has a cost. But this is a step further. This is when someone is being persecuted for living righteously. So an example that came to me, and it's a big example of a workplace situation. I have a close friend who is committed to praying for the film and media industry. She feels called to do that. And she's searched and she's found something called the Hollywood Prayer Network. And she receives their emails and has set up a little intercessors group here where she is in Queenstown. She said one of their prayer requests is for those actors and actresses choosing to live with integrity. Because actors and actresses who choose not to do what we might call bedroom scenes get known, and they can be dropped even from doing the voices in kids' cartoons, because that industry wants people who are willing to do whatever the directors ask. That is persecution for righteousness, for their integrity of saying we won't do certain scenes, and they become known for that, and they're dropped. They've got loss of income and loss of work, loss of opportunity. Pray for that industry. Some of you will know, and some of you will have experienced, I have friends I have seen have lived in different ways in righteousness in their workplace and experienced some loss of opportunity. Or perhaps they've spoken up, or you've spoken up for someone for righteousness because you said this is unfair, this is unjust, and you've been criticised or humiliated as a result. These things are persecution for righteousness' sake. I did want to give you a little encouragement on the film and media industry. Some of you may have heard of the Chosen series, a series on the life of Jesus, which is well researched and I find a very compassionate portrayal of Jesus. And a friend of mine and I were reflecting this last week that we're seeing some increase in Christian content in media and films that are coming out. So be encouraged. There is good material out there. But we do also want to pray for that industry. So, our first beatitude that we're looking at, persecution for righteousness' sake. And our second one is persecution, and Jesus gets more specific, it's for Jesus' sake. And he gives the full list here, revile you, persecute you, utter evil against you, falsely accuse you, all of it. He warns his followers that this will happen. We're holding that tension, abundant life and opposition for fruitfulness. He said there will be a persecution on his account. He also said to rejoice and be glad and exult. How amazing that he calls us to that. That's not our natural reaction, I think. I was talking some years ago to a friend who was from a Middle Eastern country, and she's from a country where Christianity is very much a religious minority and at times persecuted minority. In our conversation, she noticed the difference that sometimes in New Zealand when a Christian is experiencing hard times, people give them advice and try to fix them and try to talk as if they're doing something wrong. She said, no, where she comes from, if you're experiencing sudden difficulties and challenges in your life, you encourage each other. You must be doing something right because you're worthy and you've got notice there must be fruit happening or fruitfulness about to happen because there's an enemy who wants to stop that fruitfulness. So she would say, when things get hard, be encouraged. You must be doing something right. That's not easy though, is it? Just looking out amongst you, that's not an easy thought, but be encouraged. With it, we want to notice in the early church, martyrs, those who died for their faith, were so honoured that some in the early church started to think this might be a good option to get glory and recognition, and that they might try to seek martyrdom. The leadership of the early church stomped down on this fairly quickly, you'll be glad to know, and said, no, that is not the right motive to seek your own glory, but also this is poor stewardship of your life. Do the best you can to honour God. You're not to seek martyrdom. Enough suffering will come when it comes. So if we might consider the Beatitudes to be like a staircase, and if we consider this maybe the top step, the earlier stages, Jesus is talking about those who are suffering injustice, then those the blessings to those who are working for or looking towards justice, and are people who are suffering to bring about justice. One thing I want to notice, if we consider this a staircase, that this being persecuted for righteousness, this step is achieved by going via all of the other steps, by going via a path of humility, being poor in spirit and knowing your place before God, of having a pure heart, of seeking righteousness, of being a peacemaker and restoring relationships. This is the context in which we see this. Not those occasional people who get a lot of time maybe on the media for coming across certainly as arrogant or self-righteous. The path Jesus is talking about is a path of humility, as again we've said. So Jesus talks about people who are persecuted in parallel to the prophets. What a high comparison. We know through the Old Testament there were prophets who were persecuted through criticism and public humiliation, through imprisonment, through trials. John the Baptist was imprisoned and killed. He's at the start of the New Testament. Elijah ran away from Jezebel, who wanted to kill him. Jeremiah was thrown into a pit with no food. What a lineage to be compared to. So let's think about what the prophets did, if this is the comparison. Firstly, they lived faithfully in obedience to God's word themselves. They often had significant aspects of their life that were different from the culture around them. They were often opposed and exposed to ridicule. But the first thing is that they lived faithfully in obedience. But they didn't stop there. They also were obedient to courageously proclaim God's word. They proclaimed God's word and God's ways in a time and in a context where that took great courage. And as a result, let's notice, they were significant in seeing another generation come to faith. They were significant in providing leadership through difficult times, through opposition, through challenge, and they were significant in seeing future generations follow in faith. I'm going to notice that faithful living plus courageous proclamation meant they had a significant role in building the kingdom and passing faith on to another generation. They received opposition, but this is what they were doing. So, what are we to do with all of this? This is a sobering topic. You're very quiet out there this morning. This is a sobering topic. Jesus warns us obedience and for his sake will result at times in opposition. And Jesus said we could be happy. The good life involves an expectation of being persecuted for these, in Jesus' terms, because Jesus said good does not equal comfortable. I think we find the first of these Beatitudes a little easier to get our head around. It's not necessarily easy to do, to live righteously. But I think we find it easier to think of quietly going about our own business with integrity. Being persecuted, opposed, if that happens, but, well, we're keeping our head down and doing the right thing and maintaining our integrity. I think the second is more challenging for us. So that's worth asking. Instead of avoiding something that feels uncomfortable, let's look at it more deeply. Why do we find that challenging? Are there things we're afraid of or hesitant about? Because if we can look into that, then we might find some strategies and some ways around it, if we can articulate it clearly. So when you think of witnessing to Jesus, and there is a big range of ways that this can be done. It doesn't mean standing on a street corner on a soapbox. Pointing to Jesus, living for Jesus' sake where this is visible. What might we be afraid of or hesitant about? For myself, I think I'm afraid of being seen or considered to be one of those self-righteous, obnoxious people. I think I'm afraid of being misunderstood and being lumped in with negative stereotypes, of not being given a fair hearing where someone would attend to the whole of my view rather than a soundbite. I think those are some of the things that I'm afraid of. When it comes to standing up for Jesus or speaking about him amongst those who don't know him, what things are you afraid of? What things would make you hesitant? What are your obstacles? What is the Spirit stirring in your heart? What do you notice? Because if we notice, then we can be aware and start to build strategies. Or recognise, okay, if I'm worried, sometimes when I've noticed what I'm afraid of, I've thought, actually, well, that was silly. I don't need to be afraid of it. What is the Spirit saying to you? This second beatitude of our two today, of being persecuted for Jesus' account. Again, we're not seeking persecution, but when we stand up for Jesus, we have some major encouragements here. And first, again, we'll notice we are not seeking persecution. That would be foolish. It would be poor stewardship. It would be unnecessary. But we do pray for courage, for faithfulness, for fruitfulness, for joy. Second thing I think we'll notice is that we do approach this step via all the others, as we've already said. If we're going to speak about Jesus, we approach with humility, with a purity of heart, not to prove my point, but to serve the Lord, with a desire for righteousness, with a peacemaker attitude that wants to restore and build relationships. This is an encouragement. We're given some ideas about the how, and the how we go about it matters. The third encouragement I want to give you, which is not in this passage, but a third encouragement, there are many different ways that we witness to Jesus. A few of you know that at the end of last year at the National Baptist Hui, I was involved in leading a small workshop on faith sharing. And faith sharing, verbally, is again not the only way we might witness to Jesus. But one of the things that came out of that is thinking, when we look through the Gospels, we see Jesus drawing people into conversations, into faith conversations, with little hooks and little questions that just give them something unexpected and make them think again. We see Jesus building the kingdom of God through encouraging people and building on their strengths. And some of you will know of a program called Mainly Music, which builds on the strengths and the good desires of parents to give their good children a good opportunity and builds connections with the church community. Jesus challenged people and confronted bad behaviour. He knew his scriptures and quoted them. He walked alongside people over a long period of time. He shared from his prayer life with his Heavenly Father. He taught people. And he told little stories called parables where he could see some everyday thing and say, oh, that reminds me of something about the kingdom of God. When Jesus spoke to people about the kingdom of God, he used a big range of styles and methods and approaches. So if we're thinking about that, we don't have to feel boxed into a corner. There are a big range of opportunities out there. That little workshop that I did, there's a seed of a little course there. So if you're interested in more of that, if some of you would be interested in being part of a small course, a short course around that, please let me know and we could look into developing something further there. Our final encouragement, whether being persecuted for integrity and righteousness' sake, or whether we are being persecuted as followers of Jesus for our faith, maybe for something we say, something we do, but specifically as followers of Jesus. Jesus said we can be happy. He said to rejoice when you are persecuted for his sake. Suffering love provides an extraordinary open door for the kingdom of God and for the work of the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus ministered to the world on the cross. This is an extraordinary door for the Holy Spirit to work. Be encouraged. This is a path to fruitfulness. And Jesus said, no matter what the cost, look at those lists, persecuted, reviled, uttering evil against you, falsely accusing you. No matter what the cost, your reward is far greater. The kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and you will have a great reward in the kingdom of heaven. What you gain will be greater than you ever lose. Just notice that again. What you gain will be greater than you ever lose. So let's pray.